Erzsébet Bársonyi, Hungary. Erzsébet Bauer was born in Budapest in 1909. Her family was comfortably middle class, and she and her husband, Miklós Fényes, opened three fashionable hat stores in the center of Pest. Their son, Erwin, was born in 1929, their only child. Then Erzsébet and her entire family entered the gates of hell. After the war, she married József Bársonyi. Reluctant to speak about all that she had lost, she finally agreed, and in 2005, at the age of 96, Erzsébet sat down with Klára Látszók and Victoria Kutas and spent several days giving an interview. Erzsébet passed away while making the final revisions to this interview. Her story is read for us by Tina Gray in London.
Miklós Fényes liked to come over to our flat in Budapest and play chess with my father. I thought he was delightful, but I couldn't imagine marrying him. But he proposed, and he always said, "You will come to love me in time." He was right, and in August 1928, when I was 19 and he was 27, we married in the Rumbach Synagogue. I opened a millinery shop, then we opened a larger one. Our son Erwin was born in 1929. We did not know how bad things would get. But when Miklós was drafted into forced labour in 1939, we started feeling the anxiety on our skin. Miklós had to go to forced labour for a couple of months in 1940 and again in 1941, too. Then came that day in 1942. Someone came shouting into my shop, saying that the forced labourers from Eklad were being taken out of the country. I didn't know it then, but this meant they would be following the Hungarian army into Ukraine, where the Hungarians were with the Germans trying to defeat the Soviet army. They would fail, of course. I rushed home and packed warm clothes in a bundle for my husband. Then I ran like a madwoman to this train station, then that one, asking where the forced labourers were being taken from. I found a station master, and he said he couldn't possibly tell me, but I stood there and begged him until he relented. I ran off. I found a pedestrian footbridge at a train station, and in the distance, I saw these boxcars, and I knew he had to be in one of them. Two soldiers blocked my way. I told them, "God bless you, don't look, turn away, I must get in there." They let me pass. I stopped at every car and shouted, "Miklós Fényes! Miklós Fényes!" Someone pointed to the last car and I shouted up, "I'm here!" Mickey was beside himself. He asked how I got there, and I hardly knew what to say. My journey had started early in the morning, and it was now 9 at night. My husband promised to come back, and he told me that I should take care of myself and our son, and that everything would be all right.
Even though Hungarian Jewish men were conscripted into forced labor, the Jewish population of Hungary was not deported until the spring of 1944, when Germany occupied Hungary. From May until June that year, some 440,000 Hungarian Jews were deported, and most of them to Auschwitz. Erzsébet Bársonyi and her son Erwin were two of them.
It was the 30th of June, 1944, when the gendarme came for us, my son Erwin and me and my parents too. We were held in a brickworks with hundreds of others, maybe over 1,000. But on the 7th day, my parents were released because their other daughter, my sister Margit, was the wife of a Christian man, so at least they would be safe. My father rushed up to one of the officers and begged him to let me and my son go too, but this officer told him to shut up or he wouldn't get out either. Erwin and I were herded into a boxcar, and the train pulled away. After 3 days, on the 12th of July, 1944, we arrived in Birkenau. The first thing they did was separate me from my son. They told everyone in which group they should stand and where. I was dizzy with confusion. Then Erwin turned up. He was such a tall thing, 192 centimetres, 6 feet 3 inches. He bent over and hugged and kissed me and told me through his tears, "Mum, you'll see. We'll meet again, you'll see. We'll meet again." That poor boy. He tried to comfort me. And then we were taken in different directions, but I looked for him every day. I worked with other women in Auschwitz for 5 weeks. Then, on the 20th of August, 1944, they put us in trains, and we travelled for 3 days and nights until we arrived at a labour camp in Lubberstedt in Germany. Sometimes they took us to work in the bomb factory, where they produced small bombs. Sometimes they took us to plant potatoes. The only reason I stayed alive those last months is because I met Piri Roth. Piri had had a tragic story. She and her husband were married in Budapest and he left for the United States. He sent her papers immediately, but they came too late, and Piri ended up in Auschwitz. And then we met in that German labour camp. We literally kept each other alive. Then, on the 10th of April, 1945, the Germans didn't take us to work, but marched us off to a train yard. We ended up in Lübeck, and soon the Germans vanished, and the British arrived. As soon as Piri saw the British soldiers, she ran up to them and told them her story. She and I said our goodbyes, and she left for America. With 6 other women, I made my way home to Budapest. I rushed to find my sister Margit. Thanks to her Christian husband, she was not harmed. You can imagine her joy when I stood before her. Margit told me she'd heard the wonderful news that my son Erwin was alive. She even told me that she and her husband were busy preparing some of Erwin's favourite foods and looking into a school for him. But Margit told me that my husband, Miki, had died in forced labour. I just sat there saying, "But he promised me he would come back." To my horror, she told me that after our parents were released that day, back in the summer, the gendarme came back for them and sent them to Auschwitz, where they were killed. Then she told me our brother had been killed with his entire family. As devastating as this was, I thought, as long as my son Erwin is alive, I can bear these blows. But I found out a few days later, he wasn't. My son had been murdered too. Of course I didn't want to live. How could I? But my sister never gave up on me. She opened my old store for me. She literally gave me an apartment and kept me busy. My second husband, Josef Barsany, was a single young man. He'd been deported but had not married and had had no children. I didn't want anyone who had a child. I didn't want to hear stories of someone else's loss because I had my own agony. Joseph and I married, but I never really loved him. We were good together, though. We went to synagogue together. We bought our own seats there. When he died in 1995, I buried him in the Jewish cemetery. Back when we first married, Josef told me he didn't want to live in Kispest, where I'd spent my life until then. I thought maybe that was a good idea, because if I could get rid of my memories, I wouldn't be so sad. But now I know you carry your memories no matter where you go, no matter how many years you live. But I have one good memory that I cherish. In 1967, I received an airplane ticket to New York. It came from my friend Piri, who was married and had a family. Piri went to the airport to meet me. She was standing there waiting and crying, and people asked her why. She told them our story, and soon one person after another told each other, and by the time I stepped into the arrivals hall, there were dozens of people who watched Piri and I embrace and kiss and hug. This I will remember forever.